Thank you so much, my brother. And just to remind you again, we are on the month of March studying biblical foundation, the basic principles whereby Christianity stands, and especially the local church. The first lesson was on the local church and the importance of the local church and the responsibility that we have for the local church. The second lesson was in the most fundamental institution man have on this earth, and that is marriage. Marriage. I was listening to the reporters in Channel ABC, and was very amazing to see that one councilman in the state of California want to propose that marriage in per se be dissolved, and that no longer the United States will issue a certificate of marriage, but a certificate of partnership, like a corporation. Satan is a very smart cookie, and is alive and loose and trying to do things that really are amazing. And I'm so glad for the commentaries, even of the press, saying that this is the most ridiculous thing ever a man has said. But marriage is very important, and is the first institution God has created. And all these tapes are available. I have a meeting with Pastor Thomason extended on Friday, and how we're going to bless you by providing in the webpage an easy way that you can choose a series, or you can choose by topics. You know, we have the book of Proverbs, and we have all kinds of things that we have done, Romans, Galatians. You can study by books, or you can study by topics. So if you ever said, oh, what about grace? You will click in our webpage, grace, and then all the sermons and everything that have been said about grace will be there, will be like an encyclopedia, Bible encyclopedia for you. And thank God for Pastor Thomason's ability to do that, and his engineering mind and his studies. And the Lord has provided this for us in an amazing way. Now, today I go into the third section of this Bible foundation. And it's a topic very touchy for some people. Not for me and my wife, but very familiar with this from childhood. But it's about giving. And I entitled Giving God's Way. Now, if you recall, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul discusses the greatest event in history, the resurrection of the dead. I remind myself each time I talk about that chapter of my age. I was 19 years old. I was in the second year of university on physics. And there was the final exam, and on the final exam was a question. What's the greatest thing that happened to mankind? And so I wrote resurrection of the dead. And, of course, I got a zero. But I went right away to the professor, and I said, I think you have made an error. You mean a 10. A 10 is like your 100. And he said, no, sir. That is the most ridiculous thing to do, and if you're going to be a man of science, that is absolutely ridiculous. Well, I went to the board of directors of the school, and a professor was out, and I remained with 10 or 100 because there was a Catholic school. I studied in a Catholic university, and they were very jealous of God, and I was commissioned. I was the president of the student body for 6 years in the university. Because I carry my Bible, and I want God to be respected. And I always was very respectful to the priest. I told him that he got the wrong position, but he was very respectful because Paul respected the priest, remember? He said, I don't know, you were the high priest, he said, Paul. So I was very respectful, but I let him know that he was taking the position of Christ himself. See, now, Paul speaks about the resurrection in chapter 15. Then suddenly, you heard our brother read chapter 16. He said, now concerning the collection. See, all of a sudden, he brings us down to where we live. Every glimpse we get of future glory in Christ is only given to encourage us to a deeper commitment to our responsibility here on earth. Now, in view of such instruction concerning the collection, and these instructions come from God's Word, I invite you to look with me to the guidelines of the Word of God concerning giving to the church. Many people, when I invite them to church, some of them from my McDonald's friends, they said, if I go to church, you have to give? Oh, yes, I said, we take your checkbook and we look and everything. There is a man, usher over there by the name Pete. He will check you all over, take the wallet, everything, and you sit down. You know, make it ridiculous. Make it ridiculous. But why they ask them to give? Because giving is a touchy thing. It is, as you will find out through the scripture, is the key to your success in life. So I'm going to go in a long study from the Old Testament to the New One. And I'm going to expose you to the giving in the Bible. And may God guide you to be one who obey God and His command. First, the purpose for giving. Look in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. There is an outline in the church bulletin. Page number of Bible reference are written in the outline. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. The purpose for giving is twofold. Number one, to support the needy in the local church. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. And look with me in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16, page 1314. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. But to do good and to share, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Turn your Bible to the left, to Galatians chapter 6. And in verse 10, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men or mankind. Especially, here's what the Bible said, unto them who are of the house of faith. And when I read such a scripture, I feel so happy for our church. Last week, we have taken a benevolence offering from one of our college students who was in need. Was that biblical? You saw it over there, Galatians 6:10. Especially for the household of God. We need to take care of each other. And when something happened in the life of some of our members, we should be the first to do so. So the purpose for giving first is to support the needy, including the needy in our local church. Number two, to support the pastors of the local church. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4, please. You got Ephesians, and then after Ephesians, you come to Philippians. Chapter 4 and verse 15, page 1281. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church share or support me with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And that's where the apostle Paul writes to the church of Philippi with great love, because was the only church they support and pay for his expenses. Go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I show you verses 9 to 14. I know it's a long reading, but I want you to see it in the scripture rather than me explaining to you, and to see how the church is obligated to support those who are ministering and teaching in the church. I'm going to read a long passage, but it's just to refresh your mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Now this first verse argue with the issue that the church of Corinth say two things about the apostle Paul. Number one, he was short. He was a short man. And so he said it was ugly because he was short. That's the first thing they said. And then the second thing they said, you are not an apostle. Now the good thing they said about the apostle Paul in Corinthians is that he was a great speaker. When he taught the word of God very seriously. No wonder he was a 2 doctor's degree. Now verse 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. These people have received the Lord Jesus through him. He was the evangelist, we will call you today. Verse 3. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we no right to eat and to drink? Have we no right to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and of the brethren of the Lord Jesus and Cephas, Peter? Catholic Church said Peter was single, it was not. Here it is, he was married. Verse 6, or I only and Barnabas have we no right to forbear working. In other words, we are the only one that people cannot support. Verse 7, who goes to war at any time at his own expense? In other words, if you're a soldier, your salary is going to be paid. Who planted a vineyard and eateth not of its fruit? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man who said not the law the same also. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out of the grain. Does God take care for oxen? Or save he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploughs should plough in hope, and that he that thresh in hope should be partaker of his hope. Now, verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. You see that? He said, if an oxen who is working in the field, God said that there's a certain time you need to unlock that oxen so that he can eat. Then if a pastor is feeding you, putting the seed of God's word in you, then also he has to eat. Verse 12. If others be partakers of this right over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but bear all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they who minister about holy things leave of the things of the temple, and they who wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? You read the next of those. The man did the ceremonial law and put the bread on the altar. The next day it has to be new bread. But he eat the bread that was there because he was in charge of the temple. And he has to eat the things of the temple. Verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they who preach the gospel should leave of the gospel. So the purpose of giving is twofold. One, we support the congregation who cannot have a hard time at a certain moment in their life. And secondly, we support the pastors of the church because they are teaching. They are like workers on the farm. They are presenting the seed of God's word to us. Now, I want to talk to you about the moment in time for giving. If you go back to Corinthians again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and in verse 2, the Bible really is clear. He said, upon the first day of the week, and whether you are a Hebrew or you are a Gentile, the first day of the week is Sunday, all right? There is only one time in the Bible that the first day of the week is called the eighth day of the week, and was in reference to an offering, and had nothing to do with this, in case that somebody have read it in the Old Testament. There is an eighth day for a Paschal offering and so on, but it had nothing to do with this. So the Bible said the first day of the week. That means my giving is weekly. All right? In America, you earn weekly. In South America, it's very hard because your salary is paid monthly. In Europe, is paid, I think it's every 3 weeks and so on. when I worked here in America in non-religious affair, they were paying on the 26 pay. In other words, they divided by two the year and they pay in that way and so on. There are different pays, but here in the Old Testament, you work the whole week and then you get your salary and then you get paid. And so they said, you need to give to the Lord weekly. All right. Now the place of giving, that's very, very important. Look at in verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in a store. Now, here's the word store. Now, the original word for a store is thesaurizo. Thesaurizo. In America, they look at thesaurizo, but it's thesaurizo, where you get the word treasure. All right? The word treasure. All right? Where is the treasure, then, that I need to give? Where is that treasure that I need to put the money? Okay, let's look on it. Let's go to Nehemiah 10, verse 38, page 588. Nehemiah, chapter 10, in verse 38, if you have the Bible in the pew, it's 588. Nehemiah chapter 10, and verse 38. Here's the nation of Israel holding now a revival there in the land, and the Bible said in Nehemiah 10, and in verse 38, and the priests, the sons of Aaron, shall be with the Levite when the Levite takes tithes. And the Levite shall bring up the tithes, all the tithes, unto the house of our God, to the chambers, there is the word treasure, into the treasure house. There was a place where they have a bank. The church was so rich, they have a bank of their own. You know, when you go to the bank, they have a place where an employee go with you and open the door and you put your money over there. Well, that's what the church, how rich was the church. They have a bank, a vault. They have a vault and this should be placed in that way. Now, let's go to First Chronicle, chapter 29, a little bit, to the left, page 517. First Chronicle, chapter 29, and see what the Bible says in verse 8. It said, and they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Jeshonite. No doubt in my mind, the money that is collected goes into the house of the church. You do not make distribution of your own the money to this man or to this other or to this other. And I explain this a little farther so that you know that there is a room to make distribution in that way. But your giving, the responsibility of giving is for the treasure of the house of the Lord. Now, one time a robbery happened in our church and a man, the children have a little vault in the nursery. And the man thought that, there was money. This is where we put the money, you know, and, it was a neighbor from here. And, of course, the alarm sound and, it was at 4 o'clock in the morning. I get up and the police here and we enter the place. He broke the door of the trailer where, the nursery is and he was so passionate in looking into that little games that the children have and all this, looking where is the money. And we, the police and I were in the back like this, waiting. Finally, he turned around and said, there is no money. And we thought, the poor man, he really sick. You know, really sick. I intercede for him in jail, in the court, and he's free. He was an engineer, lost his job, and all kinds of things. But see, the people thought, oh, we have a vault here in the back. We want to put it on the children's place if we have it. But that's what the money goes. Now, who are the participants in giving? Who are the participants? And we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. And there the Bible tell us who are the participants. Paul, in writing, said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, every one of you. Now, who are they? You have to go then to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2 to find out who are they. All right? And here they are. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. To them they are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, with all the every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So these are the members of the church of Corinth. These are the people who are believers, sanctified. And so the one who are the participant are the members of the local church. If you are a guest of the church, you should abstain to give until you understand what really giving is. And there is another thing that you need to give. It's not your money, it's your heart. All right? But here's what it is. The members of the local church are responsible to give. Now comes the discussion of the centuries, the proportion in giving. And I tell you, I read so many books of different denominations. And the best way is to read the Bible, you know, and the Bible tells you, all right? So I said, how the world is divided? The world is divided in this way, from Adam to Moses, because from Adam to Moses was no law, all right? I thought to myself, I need to understand how the world is divided. From Adam to Moses, there is no law. From Moses to Jesus, there is law, and from Jesus to now. So we're going to see the instructions of the Bible. How much should I give from first day of Adam unto the law? Then from the law to Jesus, and then from the Jesus until he come back. All right? And that should do it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 28, first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 22. That will I tell you how much I should give. Genesis 28 and verse 22. Here's what the Bible says. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So from Adam all the way to Moses, the believers gave one-tenth of their income. Now somebody asked me, what is one-tenth? One-tenth is you divide, one-tenth is what it is a tenth of 100. So suppose that your salary is $100, then you give $10. Suppose you're a farmer and you made, no net, but you made gross $500,000, then you give $50,000 to the Lord. All right? That was from Adam to Moses. All right? So let's find out from Moses unto Jesus. Let's go to the fifth book of the Bible. See, in order to do that, I have to go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the new writing of the law. There was a law from Adam to Moses, and God, ahead of that, prepared the new law. Deo means two. Nomi means law in Greek. So Deuteronomy is the new law. Amazing enough, these books are the Old Testament, but their names are in Greek. It was done by the Catholic Church in renaming them. We go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14 of that book, and verse 22 to 28. Let's see. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of the seed that the field bring forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy grain, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstling of the herds, and all the flock that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord and thy God always. You see, the purpose is that you fear the Lord. Until you learn to give in, to give, you do not fear the Lord. That's serious. Verse 24. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God has blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thy hand, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Now, Americans, let me explain this. I went in the Northern California, the vice president of the radio that I worked for 30 years has a ranch. And you know, my passion is riding horse. And so from time to time, I said, leave me alone. And I got the horse loose in those beautiful areas of the Northern California. And I noticed he increased his cows by double. He said, well, I got good bulls. And at least he also was a good rancher from Texas. And he specializes and do this. And I remember the day, their neighbor has a black bull. And their cows were white. And I said, you're going to have a black cow. Oh, never happened because my fences are perfect and they have electrical thing. I said, well, he said, the day I have a black cow is yours. And one day I drove over there and brought the black cow home. But I want you to know this. The Bible brought to church in the times of until Jesus, the people will carry 10 cows and 20 goats. That was their tithe. See? And so the temple has a place, a vault for the money, and the temple has a place for all the cows and so on, and they sell it and they got the money back. That's how the Catholic Church got the idea. Give me all the things and I sell it and I put it back in money. That was the way to do it. You know how to do it. But imagine if you live too far from Jerusalem, which was the place to give the money, the temple of God, the house of God in Jerusalem. If we're too far, that's what that verse said. Then you sell it and you got the money, don't use it, and you bring it to the temple. Verse 25. Then shalt thou turn it into money and bind up the money in thy hand and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Verse 26. And thou shalt bestow the money for whatsoever thy soul desire, for oxen or for sheep or for wine or for strong drink or for whatsoever thy soul desire. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thy household. And the Levite who is within thy gate, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part of inheritance. In other words, the only people they don't have to give was the pastor, the Levite. Now, you have to understand the economy. The Levites have no salary, but they own the city. There was given a city to each Levite. Each pastor in the church have one city, and he lives out of the income of that city. So he don't have to live out of the church. Verse 28. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year. Now, you give the tithe, now you give a tithe again. One third of ten. So the people were giving 13.3%, 13.36666%. Every year. All right. So before, look at verse 28. At the end of the 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thy increase the same year and shall lay up within thy gate. So from Moses to Jesus, the members of the congregation give 13.36666 to the church. Plus, go with me to Proverbs in chapter 3. In verse 9. Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thy own increase. What does that mean? All right, you have this cow who never have a baby. Now the cow has a baby, a new baby. So now you give the tithe of all your increase, but all the new cows goes to the Lord. In other words, you are working in America, and you were not working, and now you get a job. The first salary goes to the Lord. I did it. The first salary goes to the Lord. I mean, my first goalie catch ball went to the Lord. Actually, my cousin came to my home to collect the money, so that I don't spend it. He was the treasurer of the church. He said, we know, we heard on the radio, you catch a ball. That's a $10,000 baby, so need to go to the church if you want to be blessed. I was shocked. I said, don't speak. I talked to your daddy. I talked to your mommy. All right. You know, in South America, we're still under the control of our parents. and we don't want to be ashamed of our parents, so I did it. But this is what it is, the first fruit. So the Old Testament, no wonder Israel was the most powerful nation in the world. 13.3666 to the Lord, plus all the first fruit and all the first gain goes to the Lord. Amazing. Amazing. Now that was the giving from Moses. Now, we come today, right here, where we are. What does the Bible require me to do? Well, first, the Bible required me to pay the government. There was no government then in the Old Testament because the church was a government. The church was the state. Now, if you go to the book of Romans, in chapter 13, when you want to know about law governments, you go to Romans 13. And you go to Romans chapter 13, verse 6 and 7. In the era from Jesus until he come back, the first thing you need to do is to pay your government. For this cause, pay ye tribute or taxes also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You respect the government. I did my taxes already. All right? You suffered through the accountant who said, did this. Raquel got the job almost done. Took about a week of paperwork and so on. We bring all the paperwork. The accountant sits over there. And he look on it. And I ask him, is any new laws? He says, oh, yeah, here it is. And it has two computers. And one, what I did last year. And the other, what I did these years. And he show us the comparison. And I was ahead this year. And I thank the Lord. Because last year I paid too much in excess. What I should pay. So he said, now this will go here. Where? He talks about it. You know, I don't understand a word. Raquel and him over there. And I went out and drink coffee until it's over. All right. And I said, how much do we have to pay? He said, nothing. I said, well, then praise the Lord. Get more coffee and rejoice. But you pay the government what need to be paid. When I started the church, I sit down with Brother Jack Cassandra here in our church at Treasure. And I said, how much should I pay? He said, you pay what is correct to pay, and the rest is yours. I never forgot. He said, don't go around and do this and that. You know, whatever is need to pay, pay it. And the rest of the money is yours. The best counsel I ever heard about finances. So if you want finances consultation, our brother at $250 an hour, he will check you. All right. Now, here's what it is. You pay the government. So people don't complain to paying the government. You know, what do people do? They cheat the government. They're cheating God. If you cheat the government, you cheat God. Find a good attorney, a law attorney on taxes. There is three or four here in town. Our attorney of our church is an attorney on taxes. And he will know all the loopholes and all the details and all the things. He will ask you questions. And then he will know what is right and pay what is right. Secondly, you give the government what required, and you give God what required. Well, what does God require? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2 again. Look at what the Bible says. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in a store. And look at the requirement. As God has prospered him, there will be no gathering, that there will be no shortage in the house of God. As God has prospered him. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. This I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who soweth abundantly shall reap also abundantly. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not gradually of necessity, for God loved the cheerful giving. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have in all sufficiency, in all things may abound in every good work. In other words, My friend, God doesn't require today 10% of your income. God requires a proportion of your heart to God. You just think. You maybe have, like we do, missionaries friends. And so what do? We give the church more than 10%. And then we give to this missionary $100 and to the other missionary another $100. That's what you can do. After you give the Lord what belongs to the Lord in your local church, then you can support private matters on the top of that. But you give the Lord in proportion. Now, if the people in the Old Testament gave 13.3, I'm better than a Jew. And so I'm going to give 20. And the Lord has helped me. You know where I learned that? From Brother Schuller, that liberal preacher in Southern California. He built his church cash. And you know why? He said, I learned to lead. 20% goes to God, 80% comes to me. And here we are. And I said, years ago, I met him in a Bible conference. I was a student in seminary. And I knew his brother very well. And he said, I want to pass to you, young boy, the secret of financial success. Give the Lord 20, keep yourself 80, and you're going to say, God, stop it. And I practiced that. It's easy, you know. I can have a beautiful Maserati, which I dream, down in the parking lot. Rather, I have an old Lincoln, faithful Lincoln. My wife to comfort me said, well, your legs are good in the car. All right? In other words, you become wise. With that 80% that you have, you become extremely wise. Because you don't want to touch the other 20. They belong to God. An example. But you in your heart say, how much you love God. Imagine giving to your wife a gift. You're going to give the best of the best. 18 karat gold bracelet. Something like that. Remember when you were a boyfriend? You brought the best for her. If you love her. All right? You just, you know, she's going to buy something. You want the best for her because she's your wife. All right? Now, God is your God. How much are you going to give your God? Well, the Bible said in proportion. So I cannot say give 10, give 8, give 9. Well, I'll tell you what it was good for me. So in proportion, you set in your mind, and the Bible is good in this, so that you are not loose. Well, one day I give it 20, another day I give 100. No, make a standard. Make your budget with your wife and said, all right, we're going to give to the Lord so much. And you pray. And then next year, give a little more. And next year, a little more. And next year, a little more. Like Caterpillar, they end up giving 90% of his income to the Lord. The Church of the Three Crosses in Castro Valley was built by Mr. Caterpillar. $14 million 40 years ago. All his cash money. Because he said, I don't need it anymore. I just give it to the Lord. Is that true, Pastor? Well, let me close with one verse in Malachi 3:10. You really know this. In Malachi 3:10, the Lord said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Again, in the house of God. That there be maybe food in my house. And try me now this, say the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out you such a blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. I don't know what you put in the church. It's not my business. Brother Cassandra only knows. But I want to tell you this story as I close with a friend. I was pastor of Newark Bible Church, my first church I pastored in the city of Newark, California. And the deacons came to me and said, you know, they said, this boy who is like an assistant pastor and work with you on the radio doesn't put a penny in the offering. Now, it's very delicate to talk to somebody about how much you're going to put. So I took him to lunch and I said, David, a very brilliant Jew man, very brilliant Jewish man. He was in charge of the stereo. Family radio have a stereo sound because of this man. And I said, David, there is something I want to polish in your life. Yes, Pastor. I said, how is your giving? Well, you know, Pastor, my salary in family radio is peanuts. That's true. They pay you the less of the less. our church was not paying him. We just started. So he said, I don't have money. I said, do you have $1? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, but I don't want to put $1. Well, put $1 one Sunday. And the next Sunday, put $2. And the third Sunday, put $3. And then with your wife, and he put on. He created the endless end of a tape. You know when you buy a tape? You can have a tape running to the end. Then you have to flip it over. You don't have to. He put a platinum deductant, and the tape went back. We used it in family radio. It was his creation. Then he sold it to Macy's. He sold it to all the stores in San Francisco. He sold it in, you know. One time he called me and said, Pastor, how much money the church needed? I'm now in Nevada. I have created this tape business. I think I have $50 million. He said, you tell me how much you want to for New Bible Church, which is now has a big church. It doesn't happen to all of us, but happened to this boy. He didn't know that he needed to give to the Lord. And that's what I preach this instruction. You need to, if you don't have, it's because you don't give. Remember 2 Corinthians? If you don't have, it's because you don't give. Because you as a Christian, you'd be a millionaire like the Jewish people are. Because they are serious about God. They may be washing this and the other, but the Jewish people, I take my hat on them, that they are serious. There is no Jew person that does not give to the temple. The pastor can call them and say, I need 50,000, and the 50,000 come there. Because they believe, somewhere, somehow, they believe that God Jehovah is God Jehovah. We know so much in the Bible. We know so much. We are blessed by this Jesus, this blessed Jew who came and gave his life for us. Is God not worthy of us giving him? Our church bulletin will not have shortfalls if we gave to the Lord every week as God has prospered us. May God really richly bless you. Thank you, Father, for the exhortation of the Bible. Thank you, Father, for the things that need to be said according to Scripture. Thank you that you now challenge us, giving us the freedom to choose. Should I give 1% or should I give 20 or whatever? We are free in Christ, and so we are free to offer. Lord, help us not to be forgetful, and help us to help ourselves that we may prosper, so that the kingdom of God may prosper. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
There is sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness saved me and from sin and shame it brought me. Stories sings in glory, glory, glory.
church, the adoration of our church. Father, we have learned that as grateful people, we should return to you part of our income. Lord, forgive us for sometimes don't pay attention to this responsibility. And create in us a desire to give in proportion as you bless us, so that your church will have all the things to pay, money to pay, whatever the church needs will be supplied because your people love it. Thank you for the instructions, Father. Thank you for the wonders of your love that provide for us a way to come back to you and say, we love you, Jesus, and bring to the local church what belongs to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this church who is faithful. In Jesus' name.